It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
My predecessor, a former Republican president, tells Putin, quote, do whatever the hell you want. My predecessor and some of you here seek to bury the truth about January 6th. Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. A president, my predecessor, failed the most basic presidential duty. My predecessor and many in this chamber, my Republican friends, owe it to the American people, get this bill done. My predecessor, but unlike my predecessor, I know who we are as Americans.
We're back on the Guy Benson Show. Just a montage last night at the State of the Union Address. President Joe Biden referring quite often to his predecessor, not by name, but what's the point? He's talking about Trump. Everyone understands it. Trump's probably easier for him to say anyway. Over and over again, talking about his predecessor, he really came out of the gates after the Ukraine part, just highly, highly partisan. Campaign-style speech, not really a State of the Union, at least in a traditional sense. It was a campaign speech. He went after the Supreme Court and criticized them to their faces. And this energized a certain element of the country within Biden's base, although still elements of the base ticked off at him for various reasons. How did it play with everyone else, at least those who were watching? Joining us now, Rich Lowry, editor of National Review. His latest book is The Case for Nationalism. Rich, it's always good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me, Guy.
All right, just your overall thoughts on what we saw last night from President Biden.
Clearly the most partisan State of the Union address ever. I don't even think it's close. I mean, a lot of people said it felt like a campaign rally, and it did. I mean, when before we had a 4 more years yet at a State of the Union address? I'm not a huge fan of the State of the Union to begin with, but it's been a gaudy spectacle for a long time. But this really took it to a new low. But I think he achieved his political goal, and his political goal wasn't crazy. It was to reassure his party. You can see it just in the beaming faces of the Democrats standing and applauding. They're like, thank God. You know, he's putting in a showing where he seems up for it. And, he was left on the substance and really took it hard to his predecessor. You know, sometimes they call him the other guy. So this was more presidential, I guess, to call him his predecessor. But he wanted to assure Democrats he's up for the fight. He's capable of doing it. And he cleared the very low bar of standing and giving a speech that had been rehearsed for weeks. So he just had to read off a teleprompter. So, you know, might help bring some Democrats home, but it's not winning the election.
So here's the thing, Rich. My reaction. So truth be told, I didn't watch the speech as it aired. I was at a hockey game for my birthday. I went back and I read transcript and I read some reaction to it. I watched some of the clips and I got sort of like a focus group from friends who were texting me and what they were saying in our group texts. And basically, you know, Trumpy Republicans hated the speech. Normie Republicans, like more traditional normal Republicans, not so Trumpy, they hated the speech. Anyone who's politically undecided in my friend group seemingly just wasn't watching at all. I got one note from one woman who voted for Biden last time, doesn't plan to vote for him this time, and she turned it off. She was not impressed. But my Democratic friends were just, I would say, almost performatively, over the moon. They were so insistent on how energizing and good this was. It felt almost like they were trying to convince themselves that it was everything that they had hoped it would be. And it was, I think, predictable that if Biden survived the evening without falling asleep at the podium or drooling on himself or, you know, falling over or something, they would declare it a triumph of, you know, rhetorical savvy or what have you. That's exactly what they did. And I can see maybe some of the people watching it on the left being happy that he was really taking it to the Republicans, and you know, they needed some sort of a shot in the arm after a drumbeat of horrible news for him. But, Rich, here's the thing, because my overall takeaway was not a lot of people watch it. Generally, people who like the politician will tune in for it, so it's self-selective. I think a few days later, in almost every case in the State of the Union, people forget about it. There was a CNN poll of speech watchers, people who actually tuned in, and they went back through their polling under Joe Biden, 2021, 22, 23, and 24, and they asked for positive versus negative response from the audience. Last night was by far the worst response he's gotten in 4 years, at only plus 30, because he was at plus like 50 in his first year. Again, people tune in generally to watch the president that they support. A lot of people don't tune in at all. And for him, within that pool, within that group, to have his worst performance in 4 years maybe suggests that if Democrats are trying to convince themselves that this was fabulous and great and energizing, maybe beyond a hyper-online and hyper-partisan social media crowd, this really didn't play that well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I think that there's something to what you say about trying to convince themselves. Because they got to know, and we've all had these conversations in green rooms and private with Democrats, right? They're worried. I mean, they have made, I believe, a dreadful mistake in going with Biden. It's not really them; it's Biden who made the mistake. And once he made the mistake and said he was going again, there's really no way out. But they're certainly taking a dreadful risk. I mean, he could have a terrible fall at any time. You know, in October, you know, when it's just too late. It's the worst sort of October surprise imaginable. So just having him up there, not trip. You know, he had some verbal flubs. It wasn't a very clean performance, but showing energy had to be like, oh, thank God, kind of
yes,
moment
relief
for them. So they exaggerated how good it was. But the end of the day, he's an old man shouting to appear energetic, and everyone's going to get that, you know. And today, tomorrow, the next day, he's going to be mumbling and not know how to get off a stage somewhere, and everyone sees that. They're all familiar with it if you're of a certain age, you know, with your parents or your grandparents, and it's deeply distressing. You know, I really think if he were up to be Deputy Secretary of State, he'd flub his congressional hearings, and they wouldn't confirm him. They wouldn't think he's up for that responsibility. But here he is, president again, and obviously this is the big X factor. You know, you have a supermajority thing; he's not up for it. Not up for 4 years. How much will that matter in people's voting? You know, is there going to be a lot of people the way there was with Fetterman, you know, who kind of hold their noses and realize the guy's not really up for this job, but we hate the other guy. The other guy's so unacceptable. We're going to look past that. I don't think you can really know the answer to that until November.
Yeah. And of course, Fetterman was going to be one of 100 with limited power. And the president is the president. And again, I think, you know, I think you're right. Democrats were relieved that it was not a train wreck. And they hate Republicans, so they were very happy to hear a hyper-partisan, angry speech blasting Republicans. But if this is the worst poll that they've ever gotten at CNN over these 4 years of these speeches that Biden's given, with the lowest favorable opinion of the speech and the highest, by far, negative opinion of the speech within that self-selecting pool, that's probably not a great sign, and it might go beyond just this guy, you know, yelling at the top of his lungs to telegraph energy and, you know, being mentally with it. Also, it's just the substance of what he said. He was pretty aggressively left on a lot of issues and a very far cry from the Joe Biden that at least he marketed himself, you know, to the country as back in 2020, which was elder statesman, you know me, we've got to unify and heal the soul. There was not a lot of soul hearing, healing last night from this guy.
Yeah, so to focus on the border for a second, I've been sort of astonished. They finally realized, right, that the light went on at the White House, you know, a month or two ago. The border is a big political vulnerability. We've got to try to do something about it. And, you know, I didn't like the bipartisan deal. I think Republicans are right to pull the plug. But when that went down, I thought the play would be, all right, he's going to the border. He's going to announce a new policy. Oh, he's giving the State of the Union. He's going to announce a new policy. But he hasn't, right? So if you're Bill Clinton, you would announce some showy, big, theatrical, even if it's not going to make a big substantive difference, something that makes people go, wow, mm-hmm. You know, he really gets it. And he's trying to change. And he's 0-2 on that. And, you know, the most consequential State of the Union in recent memory is Bill Clinton in 1995, when he totally repositioned his presidency. And Joe Biden needs something like that, you know, to get back to the center, to try to get back to more, quote unquote, normal territory. And I just think he's so beholden to the left, he can't do it.
Then there's this little side note, which is kind of interesting. He was basically forced into mentioning the murder of that student on the University of Georgia's campus, Laken Riley. And he did so, and he flubbed her name a little bit, and we'll talk about that later on in the show. But in the process of trying to move past that issue and to wish her family well and say that his heart goes out to her parents, he used the term illegal to refer to the killer, the alleged killer in this case, called him an illegal. And that has become something of a flashpoint since the speech, where you've had a bunch of Democrats go out on social media and TV interviews to express their disappointment and the offense that they're taking, that the president's using the term illegal as opposed to undocumented or maybe even newcomer, which is one that we found in a White House press release. What was it, last week? It just feels like we are really in a bizarre place in our politics where a young woman gets murdered by an illegal immigrant who shouldn't be in the country to begin with and committed multiple crimes and still didn't get locked up or thrown out of the country, then apparently killed a woman in cold blood. And the big controversy on the left is the president referring to the suspect as an illegal. It's just, there's something demented about that.
It's perverse. I have to say, I thought the best line of Trump's when we had the dueling border visits was, he talked about Laken Riley and he said, Joe Biden's never going to say her name. And I thought that was right. The White House press secretary has avoided saying it or kind of danced around. So I think it was good of Biden to try to say her name. Unfortunately, he botched it, which was sort of heartrending. But, expressing sympathy for her parents, all that's appropriate. And he used this term because this is a term everyone has used forever, right? Because it was an unscripted moment. He just went back to the same way he's talked for 30 or 40 years. And then didn't realize he was stepping on a landmine with his own side.
Yep. And even Nancy Pelosi was on CNN saying, well, he should have said undocumented. Now, it's not that big of a thing, but he should have said undocumented. And there were other people putting out press releases and tweets and all of that. And the thing is, to me, Rich, and not to linger on the point too much or belabor it, but it's like, what was it, a few weeks ago, there was that attempted mass shooting at the church in Texas, Joel Osteen's church, where the person had Free Palestine written on the gun and had a literal human shield of a child with her. And it was, I guess this person has used pronouns or names of both sexes or whatever. And the police came out and made sure that everyone knew that they had looked into it and they were going to get the right pronouns and name for the person. It just feels like we're so beyond things that actually matter, where they're concerned about the word illegal. Like, if you come into the country illegally, then you commit two crimes in New York, get arrested for them and released immediately, of course. Then you move down to Georgia and then allegedly commit more crimes. And then you kill someone. Haven't you earned the word illegal?
One would think so. And if you don't have the documents, if you're technically undocumented, that means you're illegal, right?
Right.
They don't have them, you can't get them. And this guy, of course, didn't really care about acquiring them, right? How does he give a damn? So it's totally perverse. And newcomer, right? That doesn't tell you enough. I have colleagues who are newcomers, but they're legal immigrants, right?
Right.
So there's being a newcomer who comes across and does everything right and takes a lot of time to deal with the bureaucracy. And there's a newcomer who just walks into the country.
And that's just also a weird word. I was sort of joking that newcomer, that sort of evinces an image of a young couple that's just moved to the neighborhood and it's their first Sunday at the church and there's a newcomer's luncheon and you can bring a casserole if you want to the newcomer's luncheon, not someone who has broken our laws and entered the country illegally. It's just, again, the games that are played with language, I think, is very odd and unfortunately sometimes revealing. I want to ask you about the Republican response. It's always a tough gig to be the response to the State of the Union, the person tasked with that. I think we've had some good ones, actually, recently. Sarah Sanders did a good job. Tim Scott did a good job. Kim Reynolds did a good job. There are some famous ones years before that didn't go as well. Last night, you had Katie Britt, Republican senator of Alabama. She's a millennial. She's a young mom. And I think in terms of the visuals and the juxtaposition, sort of a very older looking man in his 80s, and then this young, energetic, newly elected senator, I get it, and a female to boot, I think it's a good choice. Her delivery, I'd seen some reviews of it online, so I went and I watched it for myself, just very, very overwrought. I saw a few people say it's like she was trying to act rather than just communicate, and that was very much the vibe I got from her. If you read the speech, a lot of good points. I think that delivery maybe was amiss.
Yeah, I mean, she's a talent, you know, a rising star, attractive woman, you know, has a couple kids, you know, good idea in theory to do it from the kitchen, but the delivery was painful. It felt like she was a third grade teacher reading a story in exaggerated fashion to entertain her classroom. And some folks posted, she did a little preview of the speech. Hey guys, you know, I'm looking forward to do this, tune in. Well, she was totally natural.
Yeah,
it was great.
That's like normal.
Yeah, and so clearly she felt as though she had to take it up a notch in terms of the drama, and it unfortunately didn't work. Now, people, you know, they very often live these things down, and she will, but it wasn't the greatest moment.
Well, I know that we're all talking about it, and last night Twitter was blowing up, and everyone had their takes, and the Democrats were insisting it's a turning point and an inflection point, and look at what he's done, and the Republicans are running scared, and Biden's got his mojo back, and in 3 days, no one will remember anything from it. Nothing. That's my overall take, and it's usually a pretty safe bet when it comes to these speeches. Rich Lowry, editor at National Review. Rich, have a great weekend. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks so much, guys.
We'll be right back.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.